All right. Okay, good. This is what I wanted to hear. All right. I am calling this Fort Point Channel Landmark District Commission public hearing to order at 6 p.m. Hold on, I got to get the pictures out of the way here. At 6 p.m. on October 8, 2020. You can participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link found on the public notice page or by calling 926-205-6099 and entering meeting ID number 890008-1375#. You can also submit written comments via email to fortpointldc@boston.gov using the hashtag FPCOCT8hearing. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review design review applications in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order, suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law. We are conducting this meeting online to ensure public access to the deliberations of the Fort Point Channel Landmark District Commission. The public may access this call through telephone or video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks and using the hashtag FPCOCT8. PCO CT8 hearing. We will repeat these instructions during the public comment period for each application. All right, also present are commissioners Rohde, Gorganian, Karoff, and myself, Baraducci. All right, so the first item is application number 21.0231, 308 Congress Street. And this regard, the proposed work is at the Museum Plaza and Congress Street elevations, install signage, lighting, barn door, and planters. Okay, so the applicant can introduce themselves and start in.
Good evening. My name is Stephen Fleshman. I am the applicant and architect for Stonewall Kitchen for this project. We do have a couple other members. I can't see everybody now. I know Natalie King was on the Zoom meeting from Stonewall Kitchen, John DeStefano, the construction manager for the current project, and I think Amy Auerbach was on there from the museum. I'm not sure. I apologize if there's anybody else there. So Stonewall Kitchen has reached an agreement with the Children's Museum to occupy a tenant space located at 308 Congress Street in the old Abampan space. The main entrance is located off of the Museum Plaza. And there was originally a secondary entrance off of Congress Street into this space, which we will not be using as a primary entrance. It will only be an emergency exit only. The scope of what we're requesting is that we'd like to install a repurposed barn door that used to proudly stand at the Chestnut Hill Stonewall Kitchen store, and they're looking to reuse that along with some black iron barn door hardware for branding purposes. In addition to that, there would be a new planter on the museum plaza, a new store sign with lights on the museum plaza, and then a small directional sign located on the Congress Street elevation. So the next elevation, Mary. Thank you. So this is the an image from Stonewall Kitchen's company store located in York, Maine. And for those who aren't familiar with Stonewall Kitchen, they're a company that creates specialty foods. They sell jams, jellies, sauces, kitchenware, home goods, home decor along that line. And this item here is kind of the imagery that they're looking to replicate some as far as branding, the barn door image. In this case, we didn't use real barn door hardware. We faked the track on the top. And then you can see that there is vegetation, there's planters. They like to do seasonal plantings depending on the time of year to kind of go with what's being offered in the store. Next slide, please. On the Congress Street elevation, this is a photograph from prior to June of 2014. And at that entrance, you'll see that there's two signs. One on the right-hand side, that sign is an existing directory for 308 Congress Street and still remains there today. And on the left, there was a small sign that was for Abampan for their entrance using that door. Next slide, please. Again, a similar photograph, but the only change what you'll notice is that the museum has added in the upper left-hand side a directional banner on the building, and there is a round sign now replacing the Abampan sign on the left. And we're proposing to basically replicate a 2-foot by 3-foot sign in that same location as that yellow diameter round sign there. Next slide, please. These are the existing photos currently of the elevations from Congress Street. You can see that sign is no longer there, and we were looking to just replicate to give some level of presence on Congress Street, so people coming up Congress Street would have an opportunity to see some signage, or pedestrians walking on the street would be given direction to enter the main entrance off of the museum plaza. Currently on the museum plaza, there was an original awning, aluminum awning with some fabric that has been removed and We will get into where we would like to put on this barn door on the left-hand side with a planter, and then the primary sign on the right-hand side on that location. You will see that there is a rainwater leader there, and I can discuss that a little further, how it interacts with the sign. Next slide, please. So from a plan point of view, you can see the entrance door. The existing aluminum storefront door and transom window will remain in place. It's currently an aluminum storefront system. As I mentioned before, we would have this new sign located on the right-hand side, and on the left, the repurposed barn door with a new planter. Primary reason for the planter is the barn door is not as tall as the existing opening, so we're using the planter to screen the lower level of the barn door, and again, to provide depth and vegetation. Next slide, please. This is an elevation of what we're proposing with the sign on the right with three lights over the top of that, along with the barn door on the left with the planter. The existing Yawkey Center's signage would still remain at this point. Next slide, please. So this is an image of the actual sign. The best way to describe it, it's going to be a five-sided shoebox type of sign. And it's going to be about 6 inches off the face of the building, primarily because that existing rainwater leader is 4 inches deep, and we wanted to go over that rainwater leader, and it will pass through the sign. The sign will be green in color with raised letters and logo, as you see here. The lighting would be black lighting directed right onto that signage. With a kind of the barn style shade on it. Next slide, please. This is a section in a little more detail of the overall size. They're looking for a 6 foot tall by 10 foot wide sign. It would be located about 3 foot eight off of the plaza. And then you can see in section how the lights will project out a little less than 2 feet, directing the lighting only onto the sign, and you can see again it 6 inches deep to straddle the rainwater leader. Next slide, please. So these the image on the right is the actual barn door that we're looking to reuse. It's been rehabbed, and there's some existing hardware. You can see a handle that's a pull that's going to be painted black. The door will be located on the wall. It will be stationary. It will not be operable. It'll look fully functioning with the hardware you see in the upper left-hand corner and a couple of other images kind of showing how that hardware looks. It's not very large and bulky. It is black iron and it is made for the exterior. I think that was it. Next slide, please. Just a little more detail about the planter that would be below the barn door from the plaza. Overall, about 6 foot six, 2 foot tall, and 2 foot 4 inches deep, pulled off of the building approximately 2 to 3 inches. I just remember one other item on the barn door. We are aware that we would be mounting all of our hardware and the barn door and the sign all within the mortar joints. We would avoid any type of connection to the actual brick that is existing on the facility. We would do it all in the mortar joints. So, next slide, please. This is the Congress Street elevation, and you will see the small sign there. It mimics the size of the existing directory, and it would be located in the same location as the Aubin Pond signage was. Next slide, please. It's just an overall on the sign size. It's 2 foot by 3 foot, and we would match the height to the bottom of the directory so that they would be similar. And it would be about 2 inches in depth off of the face of the building. Again, this sign would also be mounted within the mortar joints of the building. Next slide. Oh, that's the same slide. We can go one more, Mary, and another. Oh, that must be it.
Okay, can you go to the slide that shows the whole the facade of what the changes are going to be, or where the changes will be on the...
So the museum plaza?
Yeah. Because that's the only facade that, other than this small sign on Congress. But
yes.
Okay, this, yeah. All right. I guess so. This barn door is the one that you showed, the wood door. Where is that?
That would be. I can't move my mouse. It's located to the left of that double door.
No, right, but I there. Mean the photo that you took, was that just a prototype of what you wanted to look like, or was that some door in your company or organization that you want to replicate?
That is the exact door that they want to use.
And that, okay, that exists somewhere in your company?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, as I mentioned, it was originally installed at the Chestnut Hill store that has been closed, and they'd like to repurpose it at this facility.
Oh, all right. So that's why the size of it is...
Correct.
So let's go back to that full elevation again. Because, you know, I look at this, and the door, it doesn't match the top of the... You know, in other words, if you were to... I know it's not a functioning door, but if it was going to be a functioning door... You know, you'd want to look at it and say, okay, I see how that could slide over and cover the entire opening. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't even go up all the way to the top. And then it doesn't go all the way to the bottom. So you're going to kind of hide it with a planter. I don't know. It looks a little strange to me. Like it really doesn't belong here.
If I can interrupt, it's actually the most beautiful door you've ever seen. When you see it in real life, it's massive. We could have gone lower. So typically, based on where the concrete line is, if we had dropped it down, we could have even cut the bottom portion off. The reason we wanted to look that way is so that it took into account and sort of drew attraction to the upper portion of the door, which is where the granite goes across. So because it doesn't actually look like a great retail space. If you go over to the Seaport area, you see all the buildings that look like retail. We couldn't find a way to make it feel warm otherwise. So I would say the door is beautiful. The planters are beautiful. And if you go to any Stonewall Kitchen Company store, you will know that we don't skimp when it comes to our planters to make the entrance feel warm and welcoming like a retail space. I mean, at one point, I think this building had yellow awnings going across when it was either McDonald's or something else. What we're trying to do is just make it feel like a retail space, because we can't change the windows to do a visual entrance looking in, where typically when you look at a retail space, there's display features that guests can see from the outside looking in. So this is really our only opportunity to try to make it feel like a Stonewall Kitchen Company store.
I guess I could add that we could raise the door the few inches that I have it shown below the granite block, so it appears more to cover the entire opening. And then we would have the planter could actually be a little taller to match that change in elevation. And we could set that up to where the planter actually overlaps the bottom of the door, so you wouldn't see the bottom rail, and it would appear that the door goes down behind the planter and you just wouldn't be able to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking moving the planter aside. So right now the bottom of the door comes to the top of the planter.
Correct.
So moving this planter aside, if you were to take the door and then move it all the way down so it's an inch or so above the grade, the top of your wood door would fall somewhere in the middle of that transom window, I'm guessing. I don't think it
correct.
Would
that is correct.
I'm just feeling, thinking that. I wonder what that would look like.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, just one thought, David. I mean, I'm flying blind here because I can't see the Zoom images, but just looking at the opening, I had the exact same kind of feeling as if it's not of the same dimensions as the opening, gee, isn't that going to look sort of weird? Stephen, I kind of liked your suggestion though of kind of masking the lower sort of absence of the door using the planter. I can't quite visualize that, but I think I'm sort of taking you at your word that it would look like it would slide across and go from the concrete transom to the to grade level. It would sort of fool the eye into thinking, oh yeah, that is sort of a functioning door. I think it needs to look like it belongs there as a functioning door. And I also, just in fairness, I think it's a brilliant idea. I'm a huge fan of these sliding barn doors. Our place on Wormwood Street had a whole boatload of barn doors inside it. So anyway, that having said that, I think somehow to make it appear, and I'm just kind of taking you at your word, to make it appear as if it is actually a functioning cover of that opening, might actually work.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to think about if you were to raise it up so that the track fell right in line with the bottom of the concrete, so that if it was to be a real barn door, it would cover that whole opening. Right now, you envision it and say, oh, if you were to pull that over, you're going to have this weird piece at the top. It's going to still be visible of the window.
We wouldn't want that.
So yeah, well, I'm just saying.
You wouldn't see that because the planters are blocking that. I mean, we could add a section on the bottom to the actual door, but the actuality is, I want planters.
Well, so then I'm thinking, don't you think the planter would be better placed under the sign? I think that would be a better composition for you to have a planter that would be the full width of the Stonewall Kitchen sign that you've got there.
Not necessarily, because we have cafe bistro tables out there. We're asking, I think we have a permit for 4, Steve? Little cafe bistro tables?
I believe so.
Yeah. All right, so what if you then reverse the two? You have the sign on the left and the barn door on the right, but
you would have the exact same issue that you're worried about now.
And I think, David, one of my concerns when we were looking at this, I didn't want to compete their sign to compete with the Yonkee Center sign.
Yeah.
Because based on the side where you put it over there, it's going to start overlapping. One will be on top of the other, a little bit of overlap.
All right. Well, I mean, I think you've got to raise it up so that the track is better aligned with the bottom side of that, what is it, a concrete lintel or a granite? It's probably concrete, I guess. So that it makes sense. Right now, it doesn't make sense. It feels like it's some tacked on thing that was never part of the building. And you want to, I mean, I know that we don't like to make it fool you people into thinking that was part of the building, but it should reflect the lines of what's there. So if you were to raise that up now, either you need to add something to the bottom of the door, or you raise the planter or make that higher.
I think we could raise the planter and maybe even create at the edge of the planter, behind the planter, but on the edges, replicate what would look like the barn door still continuing. I mean, that's hard for me. That's probably hard to visualize, but it could be just a small piece of lumber that's only 3 inches wide, but it's the thickness of the door, but it goes down behind the planter and is attached to the back of the planter. So when it's pushed back, it looks like the door goes all the way down to the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, it blows your eye into thinking that it goes all the way to the ground.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I think that's what we need to do at the very least. Now, in terms of the material, the brand is trying to create a more country look, I'm guessing, which is why the wood of the door is that, because let me back up. Workpoint Channel has lots of these sliding doors, but they ain't wood, they're metal. They're beautiful layered pieces of metal where you see all the rivets, see some denting. That's the industrial character here. this is obviously not. And I don't want it to look too country. So I'm trying to figure out a way that if it is to be wood, it has to have, the wood has to be very beefy and thick pieces. And it also needs to be almost very rough and crude, not smooth and varnished. It has to almost be like a rough hewn look to it, so that it carries that coarse industrial character.
It does. Our stores are built around a 1920 mercantile shop. If you go in, there's old schoolhouse globes that will be in the store. We have beadboard. We're keeping the brick. We use, butcher block thick in our countertops. The barn door is, you couldn't lift it. It takes a lot of people, and it's authentic and very thick and heavy looking.
Mm-hmm. Does it look like, I think, David, maybe the point we're trying to make is, will it look like it belongs on the side of a warehouse
or
It will look perfect on a brick building. Our Portland, Maine store is entirely brick. Our Portsmouth, New Hampshire store is entirely brick. So we have a lot of stores in older towns in New England. Our Newburyport store is entirely brick. And we have accents similar to this throughout the stores.
Right. No, I'm not questioning whether it looks good against brick. What I'm questioning is, this brick building is in an historic landmark district that is a very industrial maritime district. That's the identity here. So you've got two things you need to satisfy, not just the wood against the brick, but the wood within a historic district that is a industrial marine district.
I feel like the black iron work that holds it, that is so heavy gauge, probably fulfills that need.
Well, I think at the very least, I think that is fine. So the door that you're literally going to use that same door. That's what I'm hearing, and you're going to bring it here.
Could I ask David if Mary could go to the photograph of the door just so we can look at it? It is a substantial door. If I remember, it's somewhere in the 12 foot in height.
All right. So what are those? The verticals are probably a series of 2x8s and 12s or something. Is it that big?
Yeah, those are all random width, 2x6, 2x8, 2x10, looks like.
So I don't suppose you don't want to do anything to the finish of this. You want to, because this looks like it has a sheen to it even. Because what I'm looking at is, if you go to look at the door that's under the metal work that you're showing as an example, that coarseness of door, that weathered look, that's kind of what we would like to see out here.
Right. And I think this door, they applied probably some waterproofing to it, maybe while we're getting the sheen. With time, it's going to obviously change. This door was used in a mall, I believe. Natalie, is that correct?
Yeah, it's actually bry wax that's on it. So it's just a buffed wax, a beeswax that's on it right now. And those, you can see the knots came out because it has just been refurbished.
So any way of removing the wax?
I think time will help with some of that, but
well, it's protecting. It's also weather protection for the outside.
Well, yeah, I know that, but we want to see it weathered. We don't want to protect it from weather. That's the point.
So it is antique pine wood that we use to make the door.
All right. The other commissioners, do they have thoughts on this, or I'd like to hear from you.
Well, it just, one thing, David, it might be helpful, maybe it's just because I'm again, flying blind, and I can't actually see this picture of this door, but could we get a sample or some way to sort of get a deeper sense for how beefy and, kind of industrial looking feeling it really is?
Well, I think, in other words, I guess, it would have been nice to have a person standing next to it to get a sense of scale, but what about the framing around it? What are approximately the size of the framing, the wood? Is it, are they 6x6s or what?
I believe the tops are probably sixes. The The verticals are probably fours, or it could be an 8 and 6. I'm not 100% sure.
So the total thickness of the door is probably a good 6 inches thick or so, right, roughly?
I'm probably thinking more in the inch and a half, three and a half, four. Natalie, is that fair based on?
I'm so not good at that. I just know that it took 5 people to move it because it is so thick and heavy and large. I don't know. I don't know the, we have the exact dimensions of it. I didn't get the depth of it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's go back now to the, first of all, while we're on this page, you see how that door in the middle of this photograph, you see how that track goes right under, right at the line of the lintel. That's how I think it ought to be lined up on the facade. So that if you were to bring it up that high, and then whatever gets left over at the bottom, you said that you think you'd be able to put an added piece to the door behind the planter?
Yeah, I think so. If possible, I don't know if it, you guys would allow, but if I could share my screen, I actually have an image of the door where I did not crop out all the everything around it.
Yeah.
It's sitting in a warehouse, so there may be a little more perspective to the size.
Yeah, I mean,
sure. I'm happy to do that, Stephen. I can make you a co-host.
I think if I do that, is there, can everybody see that?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it gives you, oh, sorry, clicking through all my pictures now. That gives you a little idea when you look at the ladder.
Yeah.
It is substantial.
All right.
I can even zoom in a little bit if you want, David, so you guys can see a little more of the detail.
And that's the handle. That's the handle you're going to be keeping on it, right?
Yeah, that handle would stay on it. It would be painted black.
So it does have the scale. I think that would be fitting to the size of the building and such. So just talk me through a little bit more now how you would adapt the bottom of it, if you were to raise up the track so that it goes under the lintel.
I think what we could do is if you see this item right here, we could replicate this thickness straight down to just above the ground behind the planter on both sides.
All right.
And then you wouldn't be able to see anything between those two pieces because the planter is going to be in the front of it.
Right. But now that the door is raised up higher, you'll correspondingly raise your planter up too?
Correct.
Okay, that's what I want to make sure of, so that you can't. And then you'll probably mount the planter to the bottom of that door somehow, or those new extensions, so that there's no gap to see. And then, if you're using new wood, you should try to stain it or whatever, so that it does look like the door is extending down. And I think that could work. Now the planter itself, I think it should be rustic like this as well, or natural wood rather than a painted wood.
Okay.
So that it all has the same character.
So I'm gonna stop sharing. Is that good? I can give Mary the screen back.
Yep, I'm okay.
Okay, there you go.
All right. So Mary, can we get to the front? Yeah, the front facade again. All right, good. So I think that could work. Because it'll start to look like that. If we raise it up, it'll almost be like the bottom it's almost going to be that the two, you know, you've got those two slanking panels at the bottom. If you raise it up, it's almost going to be that it'll look like the same dimension. So it might be a nice block of four if the planter wasn't there. I mean, be able to give that illusion.
Right. Correct.
Which I think is probably good. All right. And are you planning to change the doors? Because the doors look different.
No, the doors are going to be the same. We originally were looking to change out the doors, but they are going to remain as existing. We were bouncing back and forth with the height of the door. How do we make it match? Does it cross the transom? We initially were looking to remove the transom, and then it just, you know, the thing just kept growing. So we said, let's keep it simple. Barn door, planter, hardware, and not touch the existing door.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Yeah, one comment to add. So the illustration here, what's missing are the plants. So actually, when you put plants in, you're going to have a different effect on that as well in the barn door.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll help diffuse the bottom of the door a little bit, which is exactly. Fine. All right.
So this is Sue. I'm on the phone because my mic isn't working. I had a couple questions about the signs, David, if you're through with that door. I'm not sure I understood. The sign on Congress Street, is that the same size as the one on the other side of the door?
The sign that's proposed for Congress Street would be 2 foot by 3 foot, which matches the size of the existing directory on Congress Street for the building.
So the two, they'll be the same size.
Basically, they're going to flank each other, and they'd be mounted at the same height so that they match.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much. The sign on the Museum Plaza, I think, is too big by a significant amount. And I'm not sure why, given that that's foot traffic there, why you feel a sign needs to be that big.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to speak up for this part. Originally, when we leased the space, if you'll notice, the Yawkey Center for Children and Learning, that particular sign is actually within our rentable space. But when we spoke with the Children's Museum, their sponsor, we said, okay, I think if you're looking at the bottom left-hand window, which is our retail space, you're going to think that's actually owned by that Yawkey Center for Children and Learning. When we first looked at the space, one of our inhibitors, or one of the reasons we almost didn't go there, was because it has been a food service, a restaurant business, again, with like McDonald's with awnings or Aubampain, and where we want to make sure people know this is now a retail space, that we thought it's important. And I don't think it's too big because we don't have any signage on Congress Street at all, where at one point there was a Blade sign for this retail space that's no longer available. So for us, it's important for people to be able to know this is a retail space, it's Stonewall Kitchen, and we're not the Yawkey Center. There's very, in my opinion, it's not too large. Otherwise, it's the only sign drawing people into the store.
Right, but most of the people who are going to see it are within, they're standing right there. I think it's totally out of scale for that, particularly because of what the building is. It just seems really large to me.
I would agree. I mean, if you flip it sideways and put it up, it would entirely close that door entrance, which is probably 6.5 feet by, 9 feet.
Right.
It feels like it needs to be, either. Foot and a half less in both directions to be more appropriate to the scale of the building there.
Yeah,
so if it was 7 by 9.
What is it now? It's 10 by 6 by 10. 6 by 10. Yeah, it is way too wide. I think one thing I'm looking at though, you are covering over, or the sign is going to go in front of that downspout.
Correct.
Are you aware of that?
Yes.
So how are you planning to deal with that? You're going to pull the whole sign forward so that the downspout is free behind it, or what?
Yeah, the sign itself is I guess the best way to describe it is it's a five-sided shoebox lid.
Yeah, so it's right? A lid. So you're going to cut it out?
So it would be it would be notched, and the rainwater leader would pass behind the signage and come out the bottom.
I think if the sign was smaller, then you wouldn't even have that problem. You could just avoid it.
Well, that's completely. What I'm thinking. If it was such that you pushed it, you know, made it narrower, you can put the entire sign and align it with the, if in fact that downspout is shown in the right location, because it looks like on the photo here, well, no, it's probably right.
Yeah, we did measure it, David, replicate it as accurate as we could.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we need to look at that and shrink it down, and maybe it aligns itself completely on along the left side of that downspout, and then you look at centering it somehow in the space. And then if it's too narrow such that you might not need three lights, but just the two would probably be sufficient to light it. In terms of its vertical position, I see it looks like you're aligning it with the top of the window, probably to the right.
Top of the window, correct.
Yeah. So I think we'd like to see a new mock-up of that, or a new drawing that to show the reduced size of that for sure. Because it does look like it's crowding the door, it's crowding the window, and I think it would look fine. You'd still have your visibility, and you'd see it from on the bridge as you're coming over still. So could
I make a suggestion, David? If we kept the sign the same size and put a planter underneath it so you'd have vegetation, and that would become more of one element, the planter and the sign.
Yeah, I
think thoughts on that?
No, I think the feeling of the commission is it's just in general just overscaled for the field that you're placing it within. That's what I'm seeing.
Is it possible to come to an agreement tonight on what that size reduction needs to be? Because we're not going to meet again until November 12th, I think, is your next time that you guys meet. And we're opening the store November 12th. So I'd love to be able to have a sign on the front door. So I respectfully disagree that it's too big, but that's your decision. But if we can come to a decision tonight as to what that reduction needs to be, as long as it's smaller, you had said a foot or whatever, because I don't want to open a store before Thanksgiving in a really difficult environment to open a store with no sign.
No, I understand. I guess what we would request then, if we don't request that you come back, that you would submit a drawing to the staff for their approval. But we definitely need to see it redrawn.
Thank you.
But if I was to give you some guidance on it, I would say if you were to align the right-hand side of the sign to the left side of the downspout, say, and then you measure the distance from the downspout to the window, that amount would be mirrored, that space would be mirrored from the door to the left side of the sign.
Okay. Are there specific regulations of how big per square footage that someone gets, or is it just sort of you guys just tell us?
I don't think that the guidelines go into the specifics of ratio and to square footage of a sign to the square footage of a building and such. It is the call of the commission based on just our understanding of this district and our.
And I respect that, but as a retailer, you're making it really difficult for people to see the brand. If you're standing at the Boston Tea Party Museum, we're trying to get the traffic to see that space and recognize that this is now a retail spot. To go down and make the signage, then can I have signage on Congress Street of a blade sign or some other sign?
I think this is Stonewall Kitchen we're talking about. This is not an unknown entity. And I think you're going to be successful there, frankly, whatever you have for a sign, because you're a desirable retailer. And so I think that, and I think, which is great. I mean, that's good. It's just, when you're in a historic district, sometimes the decisions are different than they would be if you weren't in a historic district.
I recognize that. I'm in historic districts in other cities, but in other buildings, we're not moving the windows so that they're visually appealing, where we can put displays in front of windows for guests to see us.
Yeah, no, I think if we, you'll, I'm convinced that this signage, if it was reduced in its size, would still be plenty visible. It's a dark graphic against the brick, especially at night. It's going to be completely washed with light. It's going to be a very bright spot out there. I think it should be fine. So I think if
you want, I mean the scale, guys. Just I want to point out one thing: the scale of most of the signs of virtually all the retailers throughout the district are really quite minimal. I wander by Trader Joe's all the time, and sometimes I don't even know it's there. It's because we really did insist that they reduce, the footprint of a lot of the signage that, coffee shops, the other restaurants and so forth, very, very, very sort of unobtrusive and small. And not to say we need to sort of reduce this out of sight, but to make it kind of in keeping with a lot of those other businesses, a smaller scale is called for.
So I have a suggestion, and that would be that we could do a mock-up on that building probably within a day of the two different sign sizes, and people could actually physically look at it from a distance. You could do that size and the smaller size fitting in outside of that gutter rather than looking at a drawing. Like Natalie says, she's trying to attract from, the distance there. So that's the suggestion I have.
Well, I think that could work if you're willing to do that.
Absolutely, tomorrow.
What's that?
Tomorrow.
Oh.
So, if people want to gather after tomorrow or just over the weekend or get together next Wednesday or whatever it is to make a final.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not available tomorrow, so that couldn't work. But
give us tomorrow to put two together.
Yeah.
And then whatever the group here says, maybe next Tuesday, Wednesday, everybody says, okay, let's meet, let's look at it, let's decide.
I just want to share that.
Yeah, go ahead, Mary. Yeah,
I'm not here next week, so that can't be done next week, potentially the week after.
Well, I just want to add, this is Joe, the staff from the Boston Landmarks Commission. We're no longer doing in-person site visits, so you're planning to do as a mock-up is going to have to be virtual and done that way and not in person.
That's fine. I mean, we can put them up there and take pictures.
No, that's okay. Hey, John, that's okay. You know what? Listen, we'll bring the sign down, try to move it to the left, keep it on the inside of the gutter. I actually might line it up with the barn door now that that's being raised and offset it to the left more so than the right, and fit it in that space equally distance, and I'll bring it down. But, I will ask that you folks sort of review it, hopefully, if we can get it to you tomorrow, revised drawing, only because, again, we're trying to open November 12th before the holiday season.
I'm going to say that's not going to be possible. Staff is not going to be able to turn it over that quickly. We'll work with you next week, but we're not going to be able to do it.
Okay. Next week would be great. I just can't wait until your next meeting, hopefully.
No, we're fine with that. We understand that. And in terms of its alignment, if you raise it up, fine. I think let's look at the alignment, perhaps maybe with the top of the lintel with the window next to it. I mean, I think that's we look for some kind of relationship to the architecture when you mount something so prominent like this. So you could go up as high as the top of that lintel, perhaps, and which would be fine. And then it would clear, it would then therefore be above the top of that bumper, the granite bumper on the side. So it would be clear of that, which I think would be, graphically fit better within that field. So I think the best way to do that would be then, and we could tell by seeing a drawing, it's fine. And a drawing's simple to do. So I think if you were to submit that, we take a look at that and then have the decision back to you. I do want to go back to one thing though, and I want to put this out there and see what the other commissioners feel too. One thing that this barn door is going to do, it is going to block the bumper to the left of the window, the granite bumper, which obviously this was a loading dock. So that bumper was there to protect the brick. What is the ramifications if you were to move the door so that it does not block that granite bumper?
I don't see any reason why we couldn't do that. It's just a little longer door hardware track.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It would just make the hardware a little longer, but I think it would. I think it's important to have those two bumpers on both sides of the doors expressed.
Okay. Since
that's a very prominent feature of this industrial district. So all right. So why don't we do that as well? And then your drawing can reflect that.
Okay. Yes. I'll update that.
Great. Great. All right. We need to, if the commissioners don't have any other questions or comments, we can open it up to the public. And Mary, do you want to give me my script here?
I sure can. Hold on.
here we are. All right. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag FPCOCT8Hearing. All right, so we'll wait a bit and see if there's any comments that come in, and then if not, then we'll entertain a motion. So.
I don't see anyone raising. Oh, we have one person, Auerbach. Would you like to make your, and can we have your full name?
Sure, Amy Auerbach. I work for Boston Children's Museum, and I just wanted to tell you all how excited we are about having Stonewall Kitchen as our partner. We think they're gonna be a super addition to the Fort Point area, and everything that we can do and Boston can do to help them be successful is exactly what we are supporting. So that's, just wanted to say that out loud.
Okay, great. Any other comments?
Anyone else like to make a comment? Sarah McCammon, would you like to make your comment now?
Sarah there?
Hi, yes. Sorry, it took me a minute to unmute. Sarah McCammon, Ford Point resident. Sort of wider, broader consideration. Obviously, we're excited to have Stonewall Kitchen come to the neighborhood, and but also wanted to kind of think a little bit. There's been a lot of discussion tonight about the barn door and the correlation between that, if there is any, and the refurbishment of the milk bottle that also has a wood beading siding. So I just throw it out. It may have no correlation at all, but I just wanted to kind of think about the broader perspective.
All right. I think the beadboard on the milk bottle, it's going to be a smaller scale, the milk bottle beadboard, but they're both wood. So I guess there could be some kind of tie-in, which would be good. Okay, great. Thank you. Any other comments coming through?
No, I don't see any messages coming in or tweets, so I think we can close public comment.
All right, great. So would one of the commissioners like to frame a motion? Anybody?
I go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna, I'll make a stab at it. Move to approve the application with the following provisos: that we see a mock-up of a virtual mock-up of what the I think we're talking about two alternative sign sizes and placements to be distributed to staff and then to the commissioners ASAP. And that was I think oh and then the sort of I don't want to call it masking, but the configuration of the barn door to appear to be sort of continuing below the planter and to make it appear that it would cover that entire opening.
Right. So meaning they would raise up the track to be aligned with the bottom of the
lid. And raise the track to, exactly. Thank you.
Okay. And then could we add to that motion to slide it over to the left slightly to expose that bumper the granite bumper? Yes.
Very good.
Great. I think that was it. And then if the reduction in the sign, if I might add also, it makes it not necessary for three lights, but two, to go with two downlights instead. So, and then you're okay with the sign on the Congress Street side as they proposed it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, second?
I'll second.
All right, Commissioner Karoff?
Yes. Yes.
Gorganian?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
And chair votes yes. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your consideration.
All right, I think it's gonna be great.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, just one quick question. Yep. This revised drawing, it would be sent to Mary and then distributed to the commissioners?
Yes.
That would be the process? Okay, yep. Perfect. Okay. Thank you guys so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Okay. All right, we're going to do the next item here, which is application number 21.0232. This is at 346 Congress Street. And the proposed work is at the ground level, storefront install signage and lighting at the sign band and relocate the banner sign. All right, so the applicant would like to introduce themselves and then get started.
Yeah, hi everyone. This is Mike Ross. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Prince Lobel and I'm representing the applicant today. We have a presentation. I'm happy to just walk you through that really quickly, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is 346. You can go to the next slide. This is 346 Congress Street. It's a 91 unit condominium with ground floor retail units within. You can go to the next slide. So this is the existing bank branch that's there, the Santander Bank, who is the client. It's next to the fire museum there. And we really have two main features, which is why we're in front of you today, as you mentioned. The first is to move the banner sign, that red fabric banner sign. From its current location, which is to the left of the entrance of 346 Congress, to the proposed location, as you see there in the mock-up, in the drawing. That actually is the original location of where it was. And for whatever reason, they had moved it over at one point, but the condo association actually wants it back in that original location to the right. So that's, you know, thing number one that we're coming before you. It's keeping the exact same dimensions and size and material and just moving it to that new location. The second matter, you can go to the next slide, Mary, is to add signage above the main entrance. That signage is gold or brass. It's actually an aluminum material, and that would be against the black existing background, of the main sign banner area. It would be lit by three black gooseneck lamps that would be above it. It's 17 and a half square feet. It's about 10 feet wide, and about the small letters are about 1 foot and 3 inches, and the big letter, the big S, is 1 foot and 3 inches, and that logo to the left of the big S is 1 foot and 9 inches. The small letters are closer to a foot. I think I got that right. I'm trying to read my glasses here. But in any case, that's the second reason why we're in front of you, to add those that sign, that signage above the main entrance of the facility. If you go to the next slide, you'll see an existing conditions on the left there. You can see there that's where the current sign banner is today. You can see also there is an existing Santander blade sign today. We're not here before you for that today. We're not moving that or changing that, but that exists. And it's about a 2.5 square foot sign. And there is a very small decal on the actual door, kind of midway up on that door, you'll see in red as well. But the applicant, you know, understands the historic nature, so they're departing from, I think, what is their traditional all red all the time kind of logo background, which is very important to their brand, to create this kind of more historic aesthetic. We just have one last slide that kind of shows you some other signs in the immediate neighborhood. We hope you like what we've proposed today. And that's all I have for the moment.
Mary, can you go back one slide then? All right, so the banner sign is existing on the left side of this, I don't know what that's, the sort of gray, dark gray material there of the building. Currently, that's where it exists currently. And you're proposing to move it to the other side of that?
Yes, where it originally was, actually. I'm not exactly sure. It might have been a view issue when they moved it with members who live within. So we were asked to put it back by the condo association.
All right. So, but is your bank, is the entrance to the bank, though, is going to be under your new proposed sign? It's that portion of the building, correct? So
that's right. That's right.
So I'm just trying to figure out why you'd want to move it over. It seems like it makes more sense to keep it where it is, because then that defines the sort of envelope of where the establishment is. It seems to now, by moving it over, you might, I don't know, if you confuse people, will think that that's your entrance to the bank directly under there. But it's just a thought. I don't have any particular strong feeling about it, but I'm fine. To me, it seems that the sign that you want to put in that what would be a traditional sign band, I think that's fine. It looks like the logo itself wouldn't extend above the dark portion of the sign band, which I think is also good. And I guess I'd like to hear from the other commissioners about what you feel with this blade sign. Whether you think that that's something.
Just for a little perspective, can you elaborate on what additional other existing signage is there? I can see the blade sign. Is there anything in the windows? What else isn't showing in this picture? Because it's obviously from afar.
Yeah, it is just literally the blade sign and the hours of operation banner on the, not banner, but decal rather, on the door to the bank.
So the blade sign exists currently?
That's correct.
Oh, all right. Did we approve that? I don't remember this even coming before us, but Mary, do you know that?
Yes, so the blade sign was approved last year at the August 2019 hearing, and so was relocating the banner.
It was, okay.
Yeah.
But now we want to move the banner back.
Correct.
All right. So really what you're coming before us today is the moving of the banner and this new signage over your door or over the, on the sign band, and this sort of decal piece or whatever it is on your window on the door.
I think that the decal piece on the door was there.
Well, that, yes. All right. It is in the existing condition. Yes. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. The commission, other commissioners have thoughts on this? Are they okay with everything here?
Well, if all we're, it's being proposed is moving that banner sign, I'm not sure that it's all that complicated of a decision. Unless I'm missing something, was there some question about the lighting that is being used at night on either the banner or the blade sign?
The lighting will shut down at 10 p.m. on an automatic timer, and the lighting are three gooseneck lamps that hang over the main sign, the Santander sign, which is in that gold and black above the main entrance on the main sign band. We are not requesting any other exterior lighting as it relates to the banner.
Okay. Mary, were those signs as lighted? Was that part of the approval from last year?
Yeah. So as far as I know, there was no approval to light the banner sign, and there's currently electrical conduits there. I do know that the blade sign was approved as an illuminated sign because it's just the logo itself that is illuminated. However, there's still exterior conduits that should be corrected or removed.
Okay.
So the logo is internally lit, the blade sign, I should say. Mm-hmm. With the logo, and then you're saying that the two uplights on the banner was not part of the approval?
It doesn't seem to have been included in the original application.
Okay, because that's part of my point here is that there is a especially at night, it feels like there's an awful lot of light kind of being thrown out from that facade, and perhaps that the issue of the lighting on the banner sign is something we got to explore a little more.
I would just add, I mean, I think there's a large banner, there's a blade sign, and then there's a request to add the signage band above the space. It's a relatively small space. It's a lot of signage for that relatively small space.
Yeah, it really is.
I think we should consider that because it's between the banner and the blade sign, it's very visible.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to be clear. There is no, there's nothing that we've submitted requesting lighting of that banner. I mean, if there's some existing building feature or if there's something that needs to be corrected, I'm happy to bring that back. But my understanding is that the sign, the banner will be something that's, visible during more of the daytime. It's more of a festive type of thing. I don't know if you're aware, but Santander is a Boston-based company. It chose Boston as its North American headquarters. It's proud of that very much. And so I think having more of that banner is more of just placemaker that, this is a bank that's here in Boston. And kind of maybe that's the I think my client would want me to mention that to the commissioners. The Santander over the sign there is, that is again only till 10 p.m. Then the lights will go off and you really won't see anything. So it's intended to be kind of a feature. Right now you can see a nighttime feature really, or right now you can see the existing conditions. If you want to go back to that, yeah, thank you, Mary. The photo on the left, and standing across the street, I guess you can figure out it's a Santander from the blade sign, but it is missing a key marker of what the what it is, and that's why we wanted to get that, put a sign out on the above the entrance.
I actually agree with that, but I think it's the blade sign and the banner that are duplicative because they're, for the same people, essentially.
Yeah, and, I would agree with that. But right now, the blade sign and the banner do exist. So you're not asking to add any one of those. So And I personally, I don't mind. I actually kind of like the sign over the sign band. I don't mind that at all. I think that's a very appropriate location. So if you add that, fine. I just don't get why the Condominium Association wants you to move the banner on the other side. What is their rationale?
I think it had to do with some blocked views. And I think Santander is, you know, really wants to value the relationship and try to keep everyone happy in the condo association. And I think that was really the main issue.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it started out that way. So I'm extrapolating, but if I had to guess, they probably moved it. Yeah. And then they went back to the condo association and said, hey, we want to put this sign on top of this thing. And it was probably something like, well, we'll do that if you move that banner back.
Yeah.
And I think they cut a deal of some sorts, and I just don't want to, come back to them and have this whole thing blow up.
So
no, but can we assume they won't ask you to move it again, though? I guess is that
that's a fair request.
I mean, you know, I guess you may have said this already, but I probably was paying attention to something else. Is the banner sign currently, is that lit?
I am going to ask if Mary happens to know.
Do you know if it's lit, Mary?
Don't know if it's lit at night. There's just a conduit there.
Because the pink bear here, I'm looking at the staff comments, and that photo shows two lights coming out at the bottom crossbar.
Right.
Aiming up.
Yeah. I haven't gone past at night though to see if it's
Tom. Do you
lit.
Know if it? You had you said you've seen it at night. Is it? Do you know if that banner is lit now?
It is.
And it's bright, right? That's what you said.
Yeah,
it's really bright.
To me, it seems if that was not part of the original application, it was added. It was not part of the approval. Let me say that the lighting. Mm-hmm. Yes, it gets crazy in this district. Everybody wants signs every 10 feet, or 5 feet. So since the blade sign exists, fine. That is lit. Fine. I'm thinking if you move the banner and it was already there once, now you're moving it back. I say fine, with quotes around it, but I definitely don't want that to be lit.
Okay.
I think that is going to be way too much.
Yeah.
So then having the sign over, the sign band itself on the facade, I think that's fine. I don't, and it also probably illuminate the sidewalk below. I don't know what kind of lighting we have. I don't even see a street light. There is a street light near there. But, I think having lighting hit the sidewalk is always a good thing. So I think if you were asking to add that blade sign as part of your application, then I would have said definitely not. Because to be honest with you, I don't even like where it is. I think it should be higher up. But that's another thing. I don't know how that got passed. But it did. So what do the other commissioners feel the same, or do they feel that this is way too much and you want reduction all around?
I concur on those points.
Yeah. And the other commissioners, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's open this up again to the public for comments. And there it is here. All right, so members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag FPCOCT8 hearing. So we'll wait a bit and see if any comments come through.
I don't see anyone. Oh, Sarah McCammon, would you like to make your comment?
Yes, thank you, Commissioners. I have to say I got a little confused and I had an interruption on where the commissioners felt in terms of the Santander sign going, I don't know, across the transom, what the new one that was being proposed. And so I guess I would look for a little clarity there and then just ask a question on how was 10 o'clock decided as the shutoff time for lighting that sign? The bank closes, you know, far before that. So I was just curious where that time frame came from.
Well, you're talking about the sign that's going over the sign band itself, over the store.
Yeah, the new sign.
Yeah. I don't know where, I guess you'll ask the applicant that, but the...
I'm happy to answer if you, you know, I mean, that was, my understanding was that was part of the conversation with the condo association. As you know, banks close at 5 p.m. So the idea was to create some sort of lasting presence, you know, just, you know, roll up the sidewalk, so to speak. And so I think maybe it's part safety, part aesthetic. Of course, the people who live right above it would have to contend with any brightness or lights or any issues in terms of sleeping and those types of things. So they agreed to the 10 p.m. Time period.
What, Sarah, were you thinking it? Why you? What's your?
Oh, I was just curious.
Oh, all right.
No, just because to Mike's point that, you know, the bank closes at 5, I just thought 10 was, you know, a lot later, and I was curious where that, you know, number came from. Or that,
yeah, you know, I mean, I'm going to guess it has to do with the people in the condominium, and maybe there are bedrooms over, you know, over that sign band. I mean, I don't mind 10 o'clock so much. I certainly don't want to go later than that. You know, and again, it all goes, you know, it all contributes to having people be in this district. We want people to be here at night. We want walking around. So I don't mind if we shut it off earlier. It just gives a signal that, you know, the sidewalks are being rolled up, and so. I'm okay with the 10 o'clock shut off. So, all right, go ahead. So, sorry.
So then I just, and thank you for that answer, Mike, just the clarification on, there was discussion about the different, the blade sign being lit and then this being lit. And I apologize, I had an interruption. So I will listen to where that ended up, that conversation.
I think it's only the blade sign that's lit, right?
What?
Currently, the blade sign is lit, but we are saying that when they go to move it to the other side, they will not light it.
No, that's the banner you're talking about.
I'm sorry, the banner, yes.
Excuse yeah.
The blade sign coming out with just the logo is internally lit, yes.
But that's the only sign that will be lit.
Well, I guess they're asking to have goosenecks down on the sign that's on the storefront. So I guess that's something that we would need to address. I'm almost wondering why, was there ever a sort of a looking at perhaps internally, not internally lighting, but having these, the letters backlit such that you have lighting on the inside of this, of the letters, and it reflects back on the sign band itself rather than to hang goosenecks off? Was that?
Yeah, I understand the question. Not to my knowledge. I'm trying to think if we've done that application elsewhere. I mean, I think the fact that it's even just deviating from the red and white is a big deal for them. I think I showed you in the existing, some other signage, you can see there's a Bank of America sign that, you know, is in the full red, and these banks are all, you know, trying to stand out and they can compete against each other. So, you know, they're happy to do the black and gold, but they want people to be able to see it, particularly at night, particularly during the winter when it gets dark. So that was the theory. I think we look to the, you know, there's other gooseneck applications. I think the applicant before you had the same style type of light.
Yes, the gooseneck, right.
Yeah, so they looked to the area and tried to take their cues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the preferred route for the applicant.
Okay. I mean, again, it's going to add a lot of light out here. I don't mind seeing light down on the sidewalk. I just guess I'm curious about the mounting detail here. Is that brick that it's going in? I guess that's all brick, right? That it's going to be mounted into the base of the gooseneck?
Well, there's a detail.
You have it here?
Mm-hmm. We do have a detail in the application. Oh, there you go. Actually, that shows you. There's this disc on the back of it. And from the application, we actually gave you a whole thing on these gooseneck. And it looks like they have a good couple inches on that disc, you know, coming out there. So it's got this base that will be mounted right onto the, into a junction box. But it will appear as if it's just on top of the brick right there.
Yeah. All right. Oh, there'll be a junction box. I see.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. And then the conduit will be disguised. We're not going to see conduit either, or what? Do you know how that's going to be?
Yeah, that is an internal.
Internal. Okay.
Yeah, that's internal. As far as I know, I want to try. I have a detail here. Let me just, before I speak there. But certainly that's a condition that we can abide by. There's some. I'm assuming that the material itself will allow for that. If not, I think, you know, we could probably show staff what the conduit path is, and I think it's intended to appear to not be seen.
Yeah, I think that's preferred. One of the things I'm just trying to see and these might be dimension lines, I guess. There is not going to be, when you look at your drawing here, you have the sign that's going over your storefront. You've got these vertical bands. Are the letters mounted to some vertical banding that you're showing here, or are those just dimension lines that are not part of the sign at all? You know what I'm talking about? The horizontal lines. I'm sorry, the two horizontal lines underneath the sign at the base of the sign, and then there's up above, there's another pair of horizontal lines. That's not a frame of some kind that you're mounting the letters to, is it?
Oh, I see. No, if you go to the existing condition photo, you'll see it there equally. To the left, right there to the left, you'll see that you're talking about like kind of like beam that's below the signage there.
Well, all right. I guess I'm looking at my own presentation here that you submitted, and you're even on the rendering of the letters that you have superimposed over the storefront, it does mm-hmm. look like there's some kind of horizontal banding going on behind. In other words, you're not mounting the letters directly to the sign band, it looks like. Am I reading this wrong?
They're pin-mounted letters.
Okay, they are. So your rendering here shows something that shouldn't be there. The letters will look as though they will be directly mounted to the sign band. There's not going to be any kind of a aperture behind it that you're putting them onto. And then mounting that. So, all right.
Right. I see what you're now saying. Sorry, yeah. Sorry about that. I'm not sure why they showed that detail.
Because there's no label on the drawing that points to that. It just talks about the faces, the aluminum faces, finish to be determined. It says there is an arrow there. I don't know what that's pointing to.
I mean, this is these are non-illuminated pin mounted.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to
have an aperture behind.
Or have any structure.
All right. Well, I think we want to make sure of that just in case. So we'll probably
absolutely
can put that as a proviso. And then you say here, finish to be determined. What does that mean? The color and finish meaning whether it's high gloss or not or what?
I guess they just haven't selected it. I mean, the intent was. That kind of classic brass on black, but maybe when we went to print, we didn't have a spec. We can show that with staff if that's something you'd like.
Well, I think I'm fine with the sort of brassy bronze look. You know, you can go from there. But,
the metallic, it's an aluminum face, so it will pick up the that color, and the light will help.
Yep. Okay.
Just clarify, David? I just want to clarify, is the brass lettering, does it have like a brushed metal finish, or is it reflective?
That's a detail that I'd have to get for you, Mary.
Okay, great.
I think
thanks.
Kind of prefer the brushed metal over any polished look.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be preferable. Okay. Particularly if you're going to light it, if it's polished, it's going to be a lot of reflection with the lighting.
Okay.
All right. So with that said, I know Commissioner Rohde had to leave. And we've already finished the public comments. Are there any more?
Sorry, can I speak up? I don't know how to wave in this window. Okay. I apologize. My name is Brenda Cerencioni. I live at 346 Conyers Street. So one, I want to thank you for the conversation about moving the sign. Part of the banner elements that's not hasn't come through tonight is actually quite noisy. When it winds, when the rains, when the wind comes down Congress Street, that thing whistles. Okay, so where it was before, which I know it seems trivial in some ways, but putting it back, there's a wider space between the residential units, so it's less invasive and a whole lot less noisy. So I want to thank you for that conversation, because it seems like not much, but it's a really big deal. So we appreciate that a lot. I do have one question about the lights shining down over that sign. I don't believe any of the other restaurants and stuff on the street have lights that look like that shine down upon the street. What time will those be turned off?
10 p.m.
Along with the little side banner.
The side banner is not going to be lit.
Okay, there are lights on the bottom of that, so I would like it guaranteed that they're not going to turn those on. But the so you have the red, what are you calling it, blade that sticks out. That'll be lit up. And then the lights that are going to shine down on the street?
Well, the lights are going to shine onto the sign.
Okay.
But you'll get light that will certainly hit the sidewalk. But I think it's directed, the intention is it's directed at the letters.
Okay. I just don't believe any of the other street looks like that. Like if you look at the Firehouse Museum one, I think Pastoral is backlit.
All right, let me see. So you're
10 mostly minutes. I just care when they turn the lights off. That's it. So 10 p.m. as long as we have that in there.
Yeah.
And the light is directed 20 degrees from 90 degrees, so it's a total of 110 degrees facing back upon the building. It shouldn't be something. No one should see a bulb.
Okay. Because that row right above those lights is people's homes, the condos, right? And somebody's bedrooms right there as well.
Yeah, it will be directed downward. They're 10 inch at their widest section around the shade. So obviously the bulb is even smaller. They're directed at the sign, directed down at 110 degrees.
So have you presented this to the condominium association?
However they asked us to do it, we did and got a vote. So I don't know how their internal process goes, but there was extensive back and forth through staff, Santander staff, who have relationships with the board. And I believe the board president, Brian, Brian Curley is the chair of the board of the condominium, signed off on the application.
Okay, so they're aware that signage on the storefront there is intended to be lit, so.
Absolutely.
I just want to mention, I have 20 minutes and then I'm going to have to go. And I know you don't need me for the last item, but if there's only just three of us left, I just wanted to alert you to that.
All right. So if everybody is okay with this, with any provisos that we might have talked about, somebody could then, providing there are no other comments. Brenda, are you through with your comments?
I am. Thank you again very much.
All right. Joe, I assume no more comments coming through?
Yep, we can close public comment.
Okay. So if someone would like to then make a motion on this. Go through it.
Hold on. Let me find the...
Does anybody... Can we straight okay, out? Okay, I would propose those if you're...
So I think the provisos are just to, when the banner is moved, to remove and repair anything that came from the lighting, right?
Yeah, to plug up any holes and such on the building,
right,
and repair those. And then remove the lighting so that banner is not lit. Okay.
Was there anything else? I don't think there was.
The only other thing was what Brenda mentioned about the lights being turned off at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Do we have any control over that?
Well, we probably don't. You're right. I mean, but since the applicant said that was what they're planning to do, then we support that. I think we can at least say that.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah. And everything else, I think, is, and then I want to just add the proviso, making sure that the letters that are going over the storefront on that sign band are going to be directly mounted to the sign band, and there is not going to be any kind of vertical horizontal aperture behind it. I think it's clear that it's probably not, but the drawings say otherwise, so we just want to make that statement. All right, so that sounds good. So Commissioner Cara?
Yes.
And Gorganian?
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Take care, everyone.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, how many do we have here? We on our last one here?
No, we got two more before the advisory.
All right, so let's see what we can do to move through these. The next is application 21.0235 at 300 A Street. Post work is at the ground level windows along A Street and Echo Court. Install vinyl graphics at the A Street facade and install a blade sign.
Hi everyone, this is Liz Farrell from Related Beal, joined by my colleague Olivia Sherry. So Related Beal just signed a lease at 300 A Street for a space where we plan on creating a sales center for our development project, Channelside, which is down the street next to the Gillette headquarters at 244-284 A Street. Next page. At our sales center, our proposed work includes applying vinyl window graphics along the ground floor windows at A Street, and then next page, and then along the six windows of Necco Court. And then next page, please. And then lastly, installing a blade sign to the right of the 300 A Street entrance. Next page. This blade sign will be lightly illuminated and similar to other precedent studies you have seen in the neighborhood when walking along Congress Street. Now, to note, our blade sign will be similar in size to the Bon Me sign and not quite as large as the BBQ and Row 34 sizes. Next slide. Now, this is an example of some window graphics leasing for that will be akin to what we are proposing with the graphic taking up the entirety of the window. Next slide. And then here we're seeing a pairing of the hanging sign and the window signage along Farnsworth Street. Next slide. And then lastly, another example of leasing signage pairing the side corner element along the ground floor window activation seen along Melcher Street. Next slide. And here is our proposed work. The large window graphics will be along A Street and the smaller window graphics will be along Necco Court. They will be applied, the vinyl graphic will be applied from the interior of the space showing the mullion coming through, and they will be depicting the functionality of the development going on at Channelside with words and programmatic activities that we're very excited about in bright, bold colors. Now, to note, the windows 3 and 4 will be a semi-transparent vinyl, so allowing light to come in and also allowing pedestrians to peek inside the space as they're walking by. Next slide. Here's a detail of the image. Note this is showing the font and graphical layout of what we will be displaying on the large windows and the smaller windows in Echo Court. Note this font, this wording isn't finalized yet, so it's still a work in progress. Next slide. Here is a mock-up of what the proposed work is going to look like with the window graphic along Necco Court and A Street, and then the blade sign in the distance. Next slide. And here is a passerby in relationship to the words and the programmatic advertisement that's going to be occurring there. Next slide. And then here is the entrance to the space, showing the blade side during the daytime and then lightly illuminated at nighttime. Next slide. And then here is a detail of the blade sign itself. It's blade comprised of aluminum and then a glass with some LED lighting inside. It will be affixed to the mortar and not the brick itself. And then lastly, next slide. Here's a scale figure and its relationship to the pedestrians of how the sign is going to relate to the sidewalk and people coming by the space. And that is it. Thank you.
Wow. All right. So Channel Side is the name of what?
Channel Side is the name of the development that is going, that we're in development down at the Channel Side parking lot next to the Gillette headquarters.
So is that a permanent sign or what?
This sign is going to be, we have a 3-year lease on the space, so the sign will be there for 3 years.
All right, and
That same 3-year term is for all of the signage, not just this sign?
Say that again?
That term is for all of the signage, not just this blade sign?
Those terms displayed in the windows are showing...
No, the length of term is in the length of time. 3 years is the length of time for all of the signage?
Yeah, yep. That's yes. Right. Yep, the window and the exterior graphic.
My first reaction is this is so aggressive. Wow. And I'm not even sure, what is the message? What are these signs conveying in the windows? What's the whole point of that?
They're displaying the functionality of the development that's going to be occurring, that we're developing, designing, and building what we've been in the works for the past year. So they're displaying words like reside, connect. The buildings that are going up are showing the programmatic features of what's happening on the words in the windows.
Yeah, and I can add to this, Olivia Sherry with Liz Farrell at Related Beale on the development team here. So we are currently in the Article 80 process of permitting 1.1 million square feet at the Channel Side parking lot. It's the site that's in between the Gillette factory and then where GE was having their headquarters now being developed by National in Alexandria. And so we are in, as I said, the Article 80 process for that project, and this is intended to be we're leasing the space from another landlord, and the purpose is for our marketing center. So to bring in potential tenants that would lease the commercial space at the project.
When do you anticipate that this will open, this building?
It's opening in January.
But you still need 3 years for the leasing if it's... No, I'm not your leasing office. I don't mean when your leasing office is opening. I mean when the project is going to be done.
In about opening in probably call it mid 2024.
Okay.
All right. So this is basically, it's a leasing office only. There's nothing in the net. When you're finished with your project, this goes away.
Yes,
correct. So, I mean, I think one of my questions is that this term is a really long term for leasing. I mean, to me, maybe I'm wrong. Guys, tell me if I'm wrong, that usually leasing banners, that kind of thing, it's not 3 years. And if it's not fully leased in 2023 and the building doesn't open until 2024, then you're going to come back and ask for another year or another 2 years.
I think the plan is, because we're in early development stages right now, that we hope that by the time that 2024 hits, we will be fully leased.
All right. I'm just, my concentration now is on what is this doing to the building and the architecture, and how is this being presented on the sidewalk, and what does it do to the district? These are vinyl that you're adhering to the backs of the glass. Is that what I'm hearing, or is it a screed or a mesh that you're hanging behind the glass?
We are applying them from the interior of the space with an adhesive, so we're not. It's not going to be on the exterior, but there will be easily removed when we're done.
And is there a reason that you are only having two of the windows be translucent as opposed to all of them?
I think one of the spaces is actually for a closing for potential tenants and clients to come into. So we don't want to show that to the public, as there could be private discussions going on.
Yeah, and I'll add to that as well. Where the translucent window bays are is where we plan to put our building large-scale model, as well as our neighborhood model, which will be, we think, a nice feature for passerbys to be able to see in and see the space. And then the rest of the space is we're programming with video technology and other, VR applications, that lighting is more or is less desired in that space. So that's why the translucency is where it is.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'd like to hear what the other commissioners feel about the amount of, this is going to add a huge amount of color. Not that color is a bad thing, but it's a pretty aggressive approach. This whole building is going to have these bright colors for 3 years. I don't know why it has to be so aggressive in terms of the entire window being completely covered. I mean, I'm just thinking, what about if it was if you look at each window is divided horizontally by 1, 2, 3, 4 rows of windows, why maybe just the middle two rows have the banner and have the graphic, whereas the one above and the one below does not. So you have this sort of band of color versus having the entire window blocked out. I don't know, I'm just trying to think out loud here to see if there's any other idea for here. I'm happy to hear if the other commissioners feel this is fine too. I don't know. I don't think we've ever really done this with anybody, to be covering windows like this. Because part of what we like here to do is have people see into windows. I mean, that's a big part of making this district alive. And people walk by the sidewalk, they get it, they can see in and they see the activity or they see life. This is going to block it all out in 3 years. And then I guess the other thing with the talking about the banner sign itself, the blade sign rather, it is not an attractive sign by any means. It's just going to be this big, white, bright, plastic sign there. And I don't think that's all that attractive. I wondered if there's some other alternative that could be looked at. I don't know. I mean, I know, I'm just looking at the staff comments here. And you want, Mary, can you kind of give your comments here about what your thoughts were as on this proposal?
I was muted. I think that the blade sign, you know, the fact that white face will be illuminated is just too much light. You know, I think it might be approvable if it was maybe reversed and maybe the white was just completely opaque and then maybe just the letters themselves were lit up. Mm-hmm. But as far as this, its current look is just not appropriate for the district. Mm-hmm. With regard to the window vinyls, you know, I the windows themselves look like they've all been replaced. And I had written the staff comments thinking that this was a temporary installation. I didn't realize it would be 3 years, which is a very long time. So I was okay with it, but I'm not sure if I'm okay with it for 3 years.
I'm trying, do we usually approve like for 6 months or 9 months or something for leasing signs? I mean, I know we've done it before, but I just, not that they look like this, but I'm just trying to, I think it's the combination of the two things. It's the time period and it's also the complete opacity that taken together seems like a bit much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think, let me ask another question. You know, I know you said only two of the windows are going to be translucent, but does that mean then the other windows, do they allow light from inside to come out? Are they going to be totally blacked out at night so that, you know, when, if there's lights on inside, you're not going to see that?
You will see the space illuminated. It won't be a complete blackout because people are occupying different areas of the space. So you want light to come in. You don't want it to be a complete cave. But you will actually be able to see, you know, the models, like Olivia mentioned, that we're showing of the neighborhood and the buildings. It just, you won't be able to see exactly what's going on in around the corner.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, I'm trying to get back to the window. Okay, here they are here. So the two windows are going to be in the center of that run that you're going to have it be transparent vinyl. Why can't you just eliminate the vinyl altogether? If you want that model to be looked at and to be seen, I would think that that would be something that would be better featured and be a stronger focus for people to see on the sidewalk looking down if there was nothing to obstruct it.
Yeah, that's an idea. I think that we want to show a continuous kind of strip to show that big kind of sign will be continuous and have kind of a familiarity all the way through without breaking it up too much.
But I think that's part of the issue is that it's a huge amount of space. It's really going to dominate that area.
Yeah, is there any, have you given thought to have it be a little less aggressive and invasive? I'll use the word invasive because that's what it feels like. It's a complete dominance of this building. You know, I'm all for animation and liveliness, but this is the fact that they're going to be blocked out, most of them, except for just two, is not, disappoints me here. So,
if we made the remaining bays transparent, semi-transparent, just like the number 3 and 4, would that, do you think, start to?
I would rather see that, yes. I mean, I would rather have it be able to feel like, you know, see light through it to see that there's life going on in the building. I mean, if you've got private work, you know, maybe you put some blinds behind it or something, you shut them out or so, when you need to have some privacy. But to me, that would lighten it up a little bit, have it be less, you would still give color, your eye would still go to it, but yet somebody walking by could still see in and see that there is life going on in there and not be some dead space. So that would be, I think, a big improvement, yes. So
I'll make that note.
Are you okay with the colors, or would you want to see like the colors more muted, different shades?
I mean, you know, I guess color.
Can we go
color.
Back to this slide?
I'm sorry. Say it. What did you say, John?
Can we go back to this slide just so we're all looking at the same thing? Yeah. Thank you.
There is this elevation here. Yeah. I mean, I think if there is a transparent look to the vinyl, that would tend to lighten it would not make the color so saturated, I guess is what I'm getting at, and that might help, you know, because I don't mind the color. I you know, there is the sort of brickish reddish orange kind of color which goes with the brick, and then you know the only other ones would be the blue and the more teal color. I don't really mind that, to be honest with you, but I think if you were to make it transparent, semi-transparent, that would lessen the saturation of the color, and I think it would be just as effective, but not be so invasive, like I said.
Thank you.
And now let's talk about the blade sign. Is there a way to reverse that so that it doesn't look, because that will be a big white spot, big bright white on that sign, and that's something we always steer away from with applications, and we typically would rather see the lettering illuminated, or have in your case you have a lot of letters and the information there, but often it's nice to have the letters backlit so that the light shines on the background of the sign and the letters kind of pop out that way, or have it be such that the transparency of the sign is with the letters only and the rest of it is not lit.
Okay. The sign piece itself is a translucent glass panel. I'm not sure, but again, during the nighttime, because it is lightly illuminated with LED lighting, then it will have that white effect. So you're saying just to illuminate the font and the lettering instead. Okay.
Right. And is there, you're proposing one or two? It's just the one?
Just one. Yeah. Just one to the right of the entrance.
Okay. And the mounting would be in the mortar joints and such, mm-hmm. rather than into the brick. All right. So do the commissioners have any other comments or thoughts, or are you okay with if we request that all of the window signage be the semi-transparent?
Yeah, I would agree. I think that outcome where we came, both of those points is the right place.
All right. And then now let's open it up to public comments. And Mary, I didn't memorize it, so you know, there we are. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussion. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag FPCOCT8Hearing.
Erin McCambin, would you like to make your comment?
Please, thank you, Jess. Sarah McCammon, Fort Point resident. A couple different comments. My initial reaction to looking at the blade sign was confusion. Channelside has been known as the neighborhood, as the parking lot and the area that you all are developing. And so I was quite confused about what was happening there. And I don't know if you would want to consider kind of clarifying that it's Channelside Sales Center or whatever, but I just found that to be a little confusing, being that you're going to have that sign and then the parking lot will still be being a parking lot for part of it while you have this leasing office if you're opening in January. So that's one comment. I don't know if you want to respond to that.
We'll look into it. Yeah, okay, thank you, we'll consider it.
And then looking at the vinyl on the windows, this is quite a surprising departure for the district. You know, there's nowhere that we do this. And so I spoke to a few neighbors about this, and the question that, the question that we wanted to ask about was precedents that this would set. Also, would this ever happen on Congress Street? If we allow this to happen on A Street, it seems like we're treating A Street different from the other streets in the district. And if, for the length of time that, going back to a comment that Susan made, and is that typically these leasing signs are not up for a long period of time, or they're not supposed to be up for a long period of time. And I just find this, and the neighbors that I spoke to, very off-putting to see all of this advertisement going down A Street. So, you know, could other thoughts be considered? Just an idea that I had when we're looking at the windows, if we go back to that slide, and how about if there's just a banner at the top of the windows, along those windows? Something to reduce this, you know, huge, it's almost like a billboard, which isn't allowed in the neighborhood, advertisement going all the way down, you know, A Street from and wrapping around NECA Court. It's just, you know, I think that, Chairman, you said, you know, it's intrusive. And I just, you know, if we would do it allowed on Congress Street, I don't know why we'd allow it on A.
I just had a thought. Does this conform with the Boston sign code? Because more than 30% of the window is taken up by signage.
Oh, good thought. I mean, who would be, does that require some approval from another agency or not? Or just part of the standard?
It might be BPDA.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was suggesting that is there a way to reduce the instead of covering the whole window vertically, if you just took the two center panels and had that vertical band, so to speak, read across all of the windows. I mean, I know you've got a lot of information going on in there, and that would require you to reshuffle a lot, but I think it would still be eye-catching enough for what you need it to be, not black out all the windows. You would still see some regular window above and below it, but then your band would be allocated to the center two horizontal rows of windows.
So was there an answer about the sign code, or do we not know?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I would suggest before we devote any more time to this that we need the answer to that question, because there's not any point to going any further down the road if it can't be approved as signage, and, you know, that's, maybe we need to find that out first.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. So what would be, Mary, what would be, would the applicant then just go to BPDA?
So you could either vote to continue this to gain more information about whether or not the sign in the windows would actually be allowed by the zoning code, or you could just deny it outright, and then they could just come back with a new application.
All right.
I think either way, it's going to have to be re-reviewed by the commission. So
by the next hearing, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So is there any other public comment, Joe?
Nope, that's it.
Nothing.
Do we want to approve the blade sign for them? Would that be helpful?
I mean, I think we probably could. And then maybe if we do a continuation, what does that mean, Mary, that they just, that they don't have to put a new application in, that they can just come back
Correct. Yeah. So it would essentially, you would just pick up the review at the next hearing.
And then we could suggest provisos of what we maybe would like to see. If this does get approved by the BPDA, then maybe they do some maybe they do some major revisions here. So, all right. So let me, if I can, I'll make a stab at this at the motion here that that we approve the blade sign with the proviso that it be reversed in its illumination, that the lettering and the text be illuminated at night, and that the white background not be illuminated, and that the fastening of the blade sign be directed into the mortar joints, not through the brick. And then we ask you to come back with the rest of this proposal once you find out from BPDA on whether or not this is allowed to cover this much of the window. If it is allowed to cover this much of the window, then I'd like to have you come back with a revision that shows just the two center bands of the window, and you know, the horizontals with the color, and then the rest of it be unobstructed.
So the top and the bottom would remain open.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how that's going to work with all of the wording you want here. There is another possibility too, and I'll throw this out there, that perhaps only A Street has this and not Necco Court. I don't know how much visibility Necco Court gets and why that's also needs to be done. But I mean, assuming that we will do all the windows, let's see what the BPDA says first. That will be a guide on what they say. If there has to be a reduction in the percentage of covering, then that's what you've got to work with. If they say no, it's okay by the sign code, then we still would like to see what that revision would look like with the two center horizontal window panes covered and the upper and the lower remaining uncovered. Right, so is that confusing?
I'll second that.
All right, thank you. That's
Thank you very much. Appreciate
thank
your
you.
Time.
Well, let's thank
just you. With the vote here, then. Gorganian?
Yes.
Okay, and the chair votes yes. All right. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Bye now.
All right. Sue, I'm sorry. I know you got to go.
I'll try and stay through this because this one needs a vote, right? The next one, so.
Yeah. All right, so the next is application 21.0238. This is 22 Boston Wharf Road, and the proposed work is at the Stilling Street parking garage facade, install public art sculpture. Oh, I think this is the one that came before us. Before.
Yeah, commissioners, you saw this already as an advisory review,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. So maybe we'll go quick.
Yeah.
I'm George with Artists for Humanity, and I was going to turn this over to Hayden Hogson, who is the head of our sculpture studio and has been working on this project. Hayden, are you there?
Is he on mute? Sorry about that, I was muted. Thank you guys for taking the time to meet with us. I'm Hayden. I lead our 3D design studio. I also have Hannah here, who's part of my team. And
hello.
Sean Newman, who works for Crosspoint. So this is our second time in front of you guys. We have made the changes that you suggested at our last meeting and have included more information in this package. So what you are seeing here on this current slide, not much of this has changed. One minor difference is the waves down at the ground level have been made slightly fatter. So there's a bit more material for us to work with. Other than that, that has no changes to that. We could see the next slide. unless anyone has any questions so far.
No, go ahead.
All right, so here are some Photoshop mock-ups that show the pieces from three different viewpoints. The top two are from the same position, but just orienting your head left and right. This is from, there's a road, well, it's a parking area that's immediately across from this. So this is just standing on the sidewalk next to the parking area. And this is, it's shown there on the map. So the top two are, you clearly see the upper waves and the lower waves. So one concern that was brought up last time was would you be able to see the upper waves from the ground level? I think that's clear that you can. View two is from a bit further back in that parking area. And so you can clearly see the upper waves up there. And then view three is from right in front of, and you can see it on the map, right in front of that building on Thompson. So just immediately across the street from the sidewalk. There had been some concern at our last meeting that these smaller waves wouldn't be visible above parked cars. So right here you see, this is like the lowest part of this wave, and you can see it above that car. Of the few times I've been over there, and I think John or Sean said this last time, there was not a ton of cars parked on this street.
Yeah, you're correct, Aiden. Those spaces along Stillings there, those are monthly lease spaces. So, you know, there could be a car parked there during the day or evening, but, you know, it's not so much like a metered space, you know, on a city street where it's, you know, constantly parking.
Right. So this is the lowest part of those waves. The rest of them are, if you were to look further to the left, the rest of those are higher up. All right, I'm ready to move on if you are. So here is this has not changed. This drawing has not changed. This is the structural component behind the upper wave portions. We are working with a structural engineer who has just made a change to this where we have 1-inch box tube frame that it should be 2 inches on the longer sections to give it some more strength. But not much has changed on this. All right, so this is our new plan. So we, this is regarding the lower waves down on the sidewalk level. So last time we met, there was concern about seeing the fasteners. And we discussed making the fasteners look intentional, follow the flow of the wave, and of course we need to put them into the mortar. So there was a little bit of conflict between those two things. Our solution to this hides the fasteners altogether. It's a much cleaner look. And so this is taking one substrate. It could be the same material for the face. That's what we've used on our sample, which is actually up on the wall now. So you take this inner piece, bolt that into the mortar, and then adhere the front face directly on there so the fasteners are entirely hidden. We don't have to deal with them looking intentional or trying to color them to match. So we have attached an actual physical sample to the side of the wall. And it is using the two layers of aluminum composite, and it looks fantastic. So it's up there, and I sent over another document that has more specs on that.
I actually went out and I took a picture, so this is what it looks like.
All righty. So this is what it would look like. So you can see the two layers. You can't see any fasteners. One caveat to this picture is this is the standard blue that I could get available quickly. Mm-hmm. The final version will be closer to the drawing that you see. We're going to order some custom colors. But this aluminum composite, it's meant for signs. It holds up well in the elements. It doesn't fade. It doesn't, rust or tarnish. So I think we found a great solution to that problem. And I think that hits all the points that we had discussed the last time.
Do the commissioners have any thoughts or comments?
I think this is awesome.
Yeah, I hadn't seen this before, and I think it's wonderful.
Yay!
That's good. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's good, and I appreciate your responding to our concerns. So, as far as I see, I don't see any problem with approving it as it was presented. But we do need to open it up for public comment again. There we are. So members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussion. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand or can send in your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag FPCOCT8 hearing. Okay. So Joe will report on any incoming calls.
Sarah McCammon, would you like to make your comment?
Yes, Sarah McCammon, Four Point resident. Just wanted to say excited about the project and very supportive for Artists for Humanity and appreciate having art in the neighborhood by them.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So with that, if there are no other comments out there in the public, someone can make a motion.
I move we approve as submitted.
Okay, second?
I was second.
All right, so for the record, Gorganian?
Yes.
Kara?
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And Sue, you're on your way out, so.
Yeah, sorry. But no, I think the last one's advisory, so you don't.
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
So appreciate it. Sorry we went so late.
It's okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So the last here is an advisory review for 22 Boston Wharf Road. And the proposed work is to construct a headhouse and a roof deck.
Yeah, and I did want to just offer, we're in that enviable position where we're not on a timeline for this project. So I know we ran late. So if it makes sense for us to come back next month, I'm okay with that. We're waiting for a ZBA hearing right now anyway. So we can't even come back to you officially until we've had that step, right? So it's totally up to you. I'm fine presenting. I just wanted to be, cognizant of everybody's time. And
I don't know. So you're suggesting that you would come back at another time for an advisory?
Yeah, I don't want to keep people. I don't know that it's going to be a long discussion, but I don't want to.
I don't know, Mary. What do you think on this? Is that sort of typical? We wait to the next one, or what?
Well, it's only advisory, so there's no votes or anything going on here. So it's really up to the applicant's discretion if they want to come back or not.
Yeah, and I, as much as I would say no, go ahead with it, I would like to see other commissioners here since there are just two of us right now. So if you're okay with coming back?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Like I said, year. We can't. Yeah.
All right, let's do that. I appreciate you waiting this long, and then it would be better to have the other commissioners here to hear the presentation. Yeah. So.
No, it's good to hear everybody's comments on other things because it's an idea of what you guys are thinking about and looking for. So.
Okay.
That I have the answers to the questions and I actually present everything.
All right, well, great. We look forward to then maybe for next month.
Yes, that would be great.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Jessica.
Yep.
All right, so then the next item is the ratification of the September 10, 2020 hearing and the August 13 hearing.
I didn't get to either of them, so they have to be postponed.
Okay, so they're postponed. We'll take that up the next time. And any staff updates then?
No. All right. I don't, Joe, unless you have anything?
None for me.
No, okay. So with that, a motion to adjourn?
I would move that we adjourn.
All right, so all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Joe.
Yep, good to see
have
you.
A good one. Yeah,
thanks, John.
Bye-bye. Thank
you. All right.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.